prayer. So this is a little quiz, but you have to grade it yourself. We're talking about the Our Father today, so which scripture do you think we're going to read? You're wrong. It's Revelation 21. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're actually going to read two scriptures, Revelation 21 and John 14. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And then this is John 14. "I will not leave you desolate. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that you have taught us how to pray, that you teach us how to worship the Father, that you give us the sacrifice to be offered, which is your very self. Thank you for giving us the Mass and for giving us your own prayer, the Our Father. We ask you to help us to enter more deeply into these mysteries of your love for us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week, we talked about the Eucharistic prayer. And it, one week, one session is so little to spend on the Eucharistic prayer. We went into almost nothing. But do you remember anything that we did talk about last week? An image or a fact or whatever stuck with you from talking about the Eucharistic prayer? Yeah, that's great. Yeah, the way we pray Mass should only be able to do it once. I notice people who receive communion really well, and I'm always jealous of them. You know, like at the end when the priest says, "Let us pray," it's like they're coming out of the water and they're like, you know what I mean? Like, you've seen people like this before where you're like, "Where were you? I want to be there." Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they enter into this communion deeply. Yeah. Anything else from last week? Or things to share from your own prayer or your own, how this has helped you or anything we've talked about, even just giving this attention has helped you to pray Mass, enter into Mass in a new way. Sure. Yeah. Hopefully, it's funny. That was supposed to be a weekly thing, that we take a symbol or we take a gesture and we kind of break it apart like we did with water early on, and it's sort of fallen off because there's never enough time for it. So maybe that will be some other weeks.
I guess I haven't been here.
Yeah. Yeah. You missed out. We haven't done that in a while. Before we go into this praying about the Lord's Prayer, I wanted to take a moment to point yourself to this incredible interview. You probably heard about it with Bishop Barron and Shia LaBeouf. And Shia LaBeouf is one of my favorite actors because I think he's hilarious. And he was raised as kind of like a secular Jew. And so he's playing Padre Pio in this movie. And it's just been like a total transformation for him. He's got kind of like a rocky career and has done some bad things. But this interview is very beautiful because playing Padre Pio, he's lived with Franciscans. He's like trying to immerse himself in this role. He becomes Catholic as a result of it. But to hear him speak about these things is so fresh because he doesn't have the technical words. So he's always like trying to put it, and the words that he uses are funny, but like fascinating, and they say so much, you know? So it's really refreshing and enlivening. But one thing, he was talking about Mass. I mean, this interview is like an hour and a half, and I've only listened to 20 minutes of it, but I was, so you can listen to the rest. I'm gonna listen to the rest. But he said about Mass that to be at Mass, and he compared like, you know, there's different experiences of being at Mass. But he said to be at a good Mass is deeply activating. This is the word that he used. Like, it activates his whole self. And then Bishop Barron's like, why is that? And he said, it's because there's nobody trying to sell me something. It's not like somebody who's trying to sell me a car. It's more like when, it's like this experience of a secret that is quietly being shared. Like the door is open and you can take a peek. There's no forcing of a reaction. This is at the best Masses, I guess. There's no forcing of a reaction like, do you like it or not, you know? Or like, are you into this? Or respond with and with your spirit, you know? Or sing or something like that. There's no forcing of a reaction because for the people who are engaged in celebrating this Mass, nothing in me, the priest or the other person in Mass, nothing in me depends on you. Like, it changes nothing for me, whether you give a darn about this, whether you understand it, whether you like it, whether you hate it. Like, there's like a serene confidence when you enter into the mystery that is Mass. And he pointed out that when it's sort of being sold, and he actually talked about guitars at Mass, and somehow, guitars can be okay at Mass, I think. Generally, they're a symptom of something deeper, some deeper problem. But it's a bad understanding. It's a false understanding of active participation very often. Guitars are not intrinsically evil or anything like that. But very often, if there's guitars, then there's a superficial understanding of Mass attached to it. Okay, but not always. But he was saying that when his experiences of being at Mass with a guitar, it felt a little bit like somebody was trying to sell him something. Like, look, you want to buy into this Jesus thing, right? And he said, as soon as somebody tries to sell you something, you get defensive. You close up. I don't want to be pushed around, and even if it's the greatest thing in the world, I want to find it for myself. So back off. Even if it's the greatest thing in the world, I will say no, just because I want to be my own person, you know? So he said, Bishop Barron quoted this guy named Joseph Campbell, the famous intellectual, but he said, at worst, Mass can become a cooking show. With, you know, there's a counter and bright lights, and it's kind of a demonstration, and it's like you can see everything, and there's nothing else to be seen, you know? But he said, at the best, rather than a cooking show, Mass is something that is like intensely inclusive, because the words and the music or the people, or like none of this ends up mattering, because, is mattering a word? Anyway, none of this ends up being that important. Like, you don't have to understand the word, because the gestures and the drama and the mystery at Mass is something that touches people's deepest humanity. So it doesn't matter if you understand the words, and it doesn't matter if it's your first time. If you're at Mass that's celebrated well with people who know how to pray, then what you step into is this little sharing of the secret. This is what we mean by a true definition of active participation. Like, people who are beholding the mystery. And it's interesting because he talked about this. He said it's not just deeply activating, but it is the most inclusive thing, because it appeals, it touches just the deepest part of your humanity. It's not just for intellectuals. It's not just for feelers. It's not just for like the rich or the poor or anything like that. It's for the human heart. So anyway, that's just, these are just like some things from the, like the first 20 minutes of that interview. It was really good. I was pretty surprised because I watched this kid when I was like, you know, 12 on Disney Channel, and I thought he was hilarious. And I was talking with Bishop Barron, and so it was a really fascinating interview, at least what I have seen of it. It was a lot like the first reading today from St. Paul, where St. Paul says, what we preach is the foolishness of God. You know, we just preach Jesus and the cross, and it doesn't matter whether you can explain it. What we say is God has died. God has made himself weak. God has made himself foolish. Because of his death, God has saved the world for love of you. And you can expound on it, but that is the mystery. So when we talk about the communion rite, after the Eucharistic prayer, basically, we have the sacrifice, okay? Our little sacrifice is joined to the one sacrifice of Jesus. The bread and wine have been changed into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice has been offered to the Father, but it awaits consummation, okay? So if you look in the Old Testament, any covenant sacrifice, any sacrifice offering to God, if it's a meat sacrifice, if it's an animal, then once it's offered, it has to be eaten. Okay, and the priests will eat it, or the family that offered it will eat of it. But the sacrifice is not consummated until it is consumed. There's also, with Moses and the Israelites, when they've made this sacrifice to God, the sacrifice of the covenant, and they've split these animals, and there's a lot of blood. They collect it in bowls, and then they take the blood and they sprinkle it on the altar, and then they sprinkle it on the people. Okay, all of this is like we're not just offering a substitute. We're not just offering something to the Lord, but it's something that creates a covenant, which means creates a new family bond. It is what unites persons in not just a contract, but a covenant, a family, like you now share blood. Okay, so this is why we can't just stop with this consecration. In fact, if it happens, this is why a priest has to receive communion at Mass. If it happens that a priest somehow forgets to receive communion, then Mass is invalid because the sacrifice has not been consummated. It was a valid consecration. It was truly offered, but the sacrifice was not consummated because the priest did not consume it. So that's one little thing to... When we talk... Wait, let me say this. That's the context. This is where we are. When we get to the Our Father, we enter into the communion rite. Okay, so you feel the shift again in your posture. We have been kneeling through the Eucharistic prayer, and then we stand. And again, this is one of those times where we feel the shift, and our brains just take a break really quick. You know, like when you stand up and you kind of like adjust yourself and stuff, you lean over and whisper to the person next to you something. Like it's like a little pause, and it's not supposed to be a pause, but it is supposed to be a shift. Okay. It's the beginning of the communion rite. What we do in this, okay, the praying of the Our Father, what the purpose is, the actual thing that's happening, is that we step into our place around the throne of God. Okay, notice where we pray the Our Father. What we have just done is we have offered Jesus to the Father, we have entered into the eternal offering of the sacrifice of Jesus, and we have been drawn into it by the offering of ourselves. And so where we just got to, where we have been brought to in this moment when we stand up, is that there is the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus offering himself, and we are there. And so in this most sacred place, in the Holy of Holies, we pray this prayer. Okay, this is the location for the Our Father. There are other places to pray it for sure, but we're praying the Our Father from inside the Trinity. Like, we're there with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We have been drawn into it by the sacrifice of Jesus. And so, like I said, we can pray it in other places, but this is the place where when we say Our Father, it's completely different. This is why we say, the priest says, I forgot how it starts all of a sudden, at the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say. Okay, we're formed by divine teaching because Jesus says, yes, this is the way to pray. This is really true for you. I really want you to pray like this. And then we say, we dare to say. Somebody asked me about this the other day. The reason why it's daring is because we're saying something that would be so wrong, so blasphemous even, so presumptuous, if it wasn't God himself who taught us to pray this way. Okay, we do not get to call ourselves children of God unless God calls us his children first. So we dare to say, here's another reason, because the one who calls God Father is Jesus himself, who's the second person of the Trinity. The other one who calls God Father is the Holy Spirit himself. And then we step up into this dynamism of love and communion, and we dare to say our Father. The same thing as the Son and the Holy Spirit before the Father, the font of all, the origin of everything. It's daring. It's crazy. But this is where the Lord brings us at this part of Mass. Notice, too, that the Our Father is part of the communion rite, part of the preparation for receiving Holy Communion. Okay, this points out to us that the fruits of Holy Communion, what is offered to us, is not automatic. The whole church says, communion's coming up, but we're not going to rush to it. We're going to take this methodically, and we're going to carefully prepare ourselves for what is coming. Our disposition matters, and we can receive communion in a better or a worse way. Okay, and we're not even talking about like whether we've sinned seriously or not. We can be in a state of grace, ready to receive, and still we can receive it in a better or worse way. Something to imagine during this time is this dynamism, this communion of life and love that is the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yourself stepping into and being immersed in this eternal, powerful, eternal life, the fountain of everything. We step into that somehow. It's also a thing to imagine as we pray the Our Father and we get ready for communion. It's kind of like, as we look at our disposition, it's like when you've got things on your mind and then you realize, this person has been trying to tell me something serious. And I just totally missed it and I wasn't there. So at that point you kind of go back and you say, I really missed that, but I recognize that you were trying to do something serious. That's what we don't want to happen when we receive Holy Communion. So we take a moment and we say, okay, I know that something serious is going to happen. Lord, I know that you have a word to speak to me, that you are going to come and dwell in me. I'm going to get ready so that I don't have to go back and say, I know you're trying to say something to me and I wasn't really there. It's the serious and final preparation for this communion, Holy Communion. And so we pray the Our Father because when we pray the Our Father, it does something to us. It changes us. It puts our hearts in the right place by praying in the right way so that we can receive the Lord as he would be received. So here's some tips. It's easy. It's very easy, you know, to zone out at this point. You pray the Our Father maybe more times than you've ever said thank you. Like, you just rattle it off really easily. There are different things to like help with that. They're like human tips. But the first tip is just know that if nothing is done, you're going to rattle it off and it's going to mean nothing. We don't want that to happen. There is so much richness in the Our Father that we're not even going to talk about today. One of the books in the back there goes through, it's the one that's it's called What Happens at Mass. It goes through the Our Father word by word. And it's not the only book to do that. There's great richness in the Our Father. But to understand what you say puts your heart in the place to receive. Like, why do I say Our Father? What does that do to me? Who art in heaven? Like, that changes me. It gets me ready for this communion. It's worth in this time as we're stepping up, we're in the communion, right? We're getting ready, we're preparing our disposition to receive the Lord in Holy Communion, to examine your own disposition. We've been doing this through Mass, hopefully. We've been trying to put ourselves in the right frame of mind, to dismiss distractions, to enter deeply into it. But this is another time to just check and say, maybe as you stand up or as you get ready to pray the Our Father, to say, where am I? Am I looking forward to what's coming up? Time to pay attention. I just want to note this. Next week, I think we're going to talk about like ways to foster this disposition in yourself to receive as much as possible out of Holy Communion. This is kind of an aside. I don't know how it got started, holding hands. I really think that most people who do this just had somebody tell them that this is the way to do it, but it's totally made up, okay? If you want to, I'm not gonna stop you, but the holding hand things, maybe it's just because I'm not that touchy of a person. I don't really wanna hold your hand. But you can if you want to. Just don't ever force anybody into it. And maybe that's why I hate it, because I've been forced into it. That's what it is. But it's a made up thing. Okay, it's not in any book. There's no like long rule about that. When we pray the Our Father, it's good to notice too what makes no sense to us in it. What like rubs on something in us. Because the question that we're asking as we come up for Holy Communion, as we go to Mass, as we pray, is always like, what's wrong with me? And how do we get it fixed? I want to be made whole. Something's wrong. It's not going that well. What's wrong with me and how do I fix it? This is like what we bring to the Lord. It's the time to focus on the desire that you have for not just a union with God, but a transforming union. One that changes you into whatever God wants. One that will change your habits, will change your mind, change your memory, change your desires, change your heart. We're looking for transforming union. And as we pray the Our Father, get ready for the union that's offered in Holy Communion. That should be at the forefront too. So, let's stand and pray.
In the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,